Bald eagles are the largest type of eagle native to North America, and the only eagle that can be found only in North America. Bald eagles are carnivores, eating mostly fish, but they will also eat rabbits, beavers, geese, reptiles, and crabs, as well as other creatures, and carrion, or animals that have already died. Because they prefer to eat fish, the bald eagle can be found near large bodies of water where they can find food, with large old trees where they can nest.
Hi everybody, my name is Shauna and this is the American English Podcast. My goal here is to teach you the English spoken in the United States through common expressions, pronunciation tips, and interesting cultural snippets or stories. I hope to keep this fun, useful, and interesting. Let's do it. Hi everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the American English Podcast. In that introduction, you heard a short audio recording from the Free School channel on YouTube in a video called All About Bald Eagles for Kids. I'll post the link to that video within the transcript. A bald eagle, as many of you probably know, is the national bird of the United States. It's also a symbol or an emblem for our country. So you'll see the bald eagle on our money, on our stamps, on our passports. You'll also see it on logos for a variety of government agencies, and even on the seal for the president. This bald eagle is everywhere in the U.S., so it makes it a good topic for today's episode. In addition to talking about the bald eagle, you'll also hear a joke. You'll learn how to use the expression to wing it, and we'll do some heavy work on pronunciation. This week's episode is brought to you by the American English Accent Course, which is a course designed for non-native English speakers who lack confidence in English because of their accent. The American English Accent Course was created by me and is made up of a series of video and audio files that teach syllable and word stress, pronunciation, linking, reduced forms, and all of the nuances that make someone sound like a native from the States. If you need practical exercises to improve your accent, and lots of them, then check out that course at AmericanEnglishPodcast.com. As in most episodes, I'd like to start with a joke, and today I found one that is so perfect and very related to the topic. So, how do birds learn to fly? Any ideas? They don't. They just wing it. Oh, it's so simple, but that's the beauty of it. To wing it is an expression that means to improvise or to perform without preparation, right? To do something on the spot. Birds also have wings, obviously, that they flap in order to get themselves off the ground. So he's using his wings to fly and he's winging it. In other words, he's improvising. So let's try that one more time. How do birds learn to fly? They don't. They just wing it. Great. So that's actually going to be the expression of the day as well, to wing it. We're going to use this in three more examples because to wing it is an expression that's incredibly common. And if you haven't used this in conversation yet, I hope these examples will make you feel a little bit more confident in using them in your own life. So example number one, imagine that you've been learning how to play the saxophone for 1 year. And tonight's your first real performance. You're nervous. You have butterflies in your stomach. So you go up on stage, and in the heat of the moment, you forget the melody of the song you're performing. You think to yourself quickly, oh no, either I walk off stage right now and be the laughing stock of everyone in the audience, or I wing it and see what happens. So you choose to wing it. You decide to improvise. You decide to perform without former practice of whatever you're about to play. You make something up off the top of your head. You invent a new melody on the spot. And in the end, nobody probably even realized that you decided to wing it. So example number two, imagine that your friend has to give a speech at your wedding and you know that that friend is not very good at public speaking. So you ask them beforehand, are you going to wing it? In other words, are you going to improvise? Are you going to make your speech up on the spot and invent things as you go? Which can, of course, be very tricky to come up with jokes and stories and all the congratulations on the spot. And they respond, no, I'm not going to wing it. I'm going to prepare something. And so in your head, you're thinking, oh, thank goodness. I'm glad you're not going to wing it. That could turn out really bad without preparation. Example number three. A while back, I watched a TED talk about creativity. During the talk, the speaker mentioned Martin Luther King Jr., who was a Christian minister who delivered the I Have a Dream speech, a speech so mind-bogglingly articulate and impactful that it facilitated a turning point in the civil rights movement. The thing that surprised me, though, about this speech is that the whole I Have a Dream section, the part that is most frequently quoted, was unscripted. It wasn't even in his speech notes. He was simply asked to elaborate on his dream, and so he improvised. He winged it. He came up with the examples on the spot, off the cuff, impromptu. He winged it, and very, very well, in front of about 250,000 people. I guess when you speak from the heart and you have a significant amount of practice doing it, then you can wing it and actually have a desirable result. and not to mention, of course, you have to have a well-developed vernacular. But anyway, check out that video on YouTube. It's the I Have a Dream speech. I think if you have an intermediate level to an advanced level, high intermediate, you should be able to understand it. He does speak very clearly and he has great diction too, so you'll learn a lot of wonderful words. So let's go through some pronunciation exercises now. Repeat after me. Did. Did you. Did you wing? Did you wing it? Did you wing it? Notice how did and you turns to did you. Or did ya? This is what we call a reduced form. A reduced form is when multiple words, when spoken, compound to form one word. Some people may just call this linking because it links two words together. But in any case, it sounds different, right? For did you, we often say did ya or did you. Okay. So have you ever given a presentation at school or at work? If so, did you wing it? Repeat after me. Did you do it? Did you wing it? It's also acceptable to say, did ya, did ya, did ya. But many Americans just simplify this as did ya, did ya. All right, and the conjugation, repeat after me. Who winged the presentation? I winged it. You winged it. He winged it. She winged it. We winged it. They winged it. It winged it. Did you notice that the ED ending makes a D sound here? I winged it. The thing is, if I read these words as individuals, separate from each other, it's even hard for me to say this sentence smoothly. I winged it. It's very choppy, right? Instead, I normally would say, I winged it. I winged it. I winged it. I winged it. By connecting regular past tense verbs with these ED endings to the vowel or H sound that follows, if one follows, you'll automatically sound more native and less choppy. Let's go through a few more examples of this, and then I recommend reading any sort of past tense story out loud to practice this. Repeat after me. I moved into a new house. I move dintu. See how that D connects to the into, right? I moved into. I moved into a new house. Repeat after me. I moved into a new house. Next one. Repeat after me. He changed his name. He changed diz instead of changed his, which is hard to say. We would say change diz. Change diz. Okay, we get rid of that H all together. He changed diz name. Repeat after me. He changed diz name. Next one. Repeat after me. I planned a trip to Europe. I plan da trip to Europe. Plan da. Plan da. Repeat after me. I planned a trip to Europe. There are plenty of more examples of this and shadowing exercises for this in the American English Accent course. Once again, you can access that at AmericanEnglishPodcast.com. Let's move on to the topic of the day. Today, we're going to be talking about bald eagles. And as I mentioned in the beginning, they're the national bird of the United States. In the recording at the very beginning of this episode, we heard that bald eagles can be found only in North America. So that means in Canada, the United States, and in Mexico. Bald eagles are not actually bald, as their name suggests. In fact, their heads are covered in white feathers. Their bodies and wings are covered in dark brown or black feathers, which creates a very strong contrast between the head and the body, making these birds very easy to spot if you're in their neck of the woods. In other words, if you're in their territory or in their habitat. Their wingspan, so the length from one end of one wing to the end of the other wing when their wings are open, can reach up to 7 feet across, allowing them to soar through the skies at speeds up to 43 miles per hour, and they can swoop down with ease whenever need be. These birds are capable of diving vertically at speeds of up to 99 miles per hour. That's 160 kilometers per hour. Their size can vary, though, depending on the location of their natural habitat. So if you're in Mexico versus being in Alaska, for example. So bald eagles abide by the Bergman rule, which I wasn't familiar with before researching this, which actually states that the body mass of animals within the same species is larger in colder climates. With that said, the further you move away from the equator, the larger these bald eagles will be. These birds have bright yellow hooked beaks and long yellow talons, which are two characteristics found in birds of prey. Birds of prey are birds that hunt other animals. They're carnivorous, right? They're carnivores. They eat meat. So this hooked beak is very pointy, in other words, and it's downward facing. You can tell just from its appearance that it will not have any difficulty tearing into some fish or some of the other prey it comes across. They also have talons, which I mentioned, which are claws that enable them to pick up their prey and to kill it while they're in flight. This prey can include anything, really, anything that's meat. They really like to eat a lot of fish, such as salmon, herring, or catfish. And according to allaboutbirds.org, they also eat other birds, reptiles, amphibians, invertebrates, these animals that have shells, such as crab or even lobster, and also other small mammals, like rabbits, for example. It doesn't matter if what they're eating is dead when they catch it or if it's alive. They're not picky eaters. I've always had a really hard time watching the Discovery Channel, Animal Planet, National Geographic, whatever animal show was on TV, because I feel like they do a really good job at showing how predatory animals catch their prey. They'd like to dramatize it, right? And I'm sure we're all familiar with this. You hear the hunting music come on. You see the, the lion scanning its environment, and it suddenly spots peaceful gazelles off in the distance. And you know suddenly, okay, this is the time I need to either turn the channel or I'm going to watch this lion take down these gazelles, right, and eat them for lunch. The thing is with these bald eagles, the soundtrack is a little bit different because normally there is another animal who is the initial predator, and then the bald eagle comes in and steals the food from that other animal. They're thieves. So they watch from above, maybe in the branch of a tree, as another animal strikes its prey. When it kills its prey, that's the moment when the bald eagle will come in and steal. Sometimes, for example, an osprey, which is another type of bird that lives next to water in North America, will catch a fish, and then the bald eagle will come on in and take that fish directly from the talons of that bird as it's flying away. It's like taking candy from a child, right? And you're probably also thinking what I thought when I first heard this. Why is this bird a symbol of the United States if it has a character that steals and takes from others? And that's actually what Benjamin Franklin thought. So Benjamin Franklin was a founding father of the United States. He wrote, "For my part, I wish the bald eagle had not been chosen the representative of our country. He is a bird of bad moral character. He does not get his living honestly because he is a rank coward. The little kingbird, not bigger than a sparrow, attacks him boldly and drives him out of the district." All right, so we just heard, okay, he steals and also other little birds can scare him away, right? So it's kind of an unfortunate bully. Franklin actually thought that the wild turkey would be better suited as a symbol for the United States. And imagine if that had actually happened. A wild turkey on our currency, if you could see it on government agencies' logos, and yeah, on the president's seal. It's actually pretty funny. Anyway, so let's share some more interesting, maybe positive facts about the bald eagle before we write it off as a terrible bird. First of all, it's a loyal mate and sticks with him or her for life. And life can last a long time for these birds. The oldest bird on record lived up to 38 years old. They also constantly build their nests, and they do it together with their mate. And since they keep the same nest for years on end, they just keep growing. These nests can be found up in high trees, very close to the trunk for protection. The average is from 4 to 6 feet in diameter and 2 to 4 feet deep. But there are records of some being very, very large. One that actually weighed 2 tons in Ohio. Kind of crazy. And they're also strong protectors of their family. The baby eagles look a little bit different from their parents in that they have pink skin and light gray down. Down is a term we use to describe feathers or feathery material. So for example, if you go to IKEA or to some store to buy a nice blanket for your bed, they might ask you, oh, do you want a down comforter? In other words, do you want a comforter with feathers inside? These birds are also adventurous, right? So when lakes freeze over and they can no longer catch fish, they will travel from one area to another. So from the north to the south. Like most birds, but they can travel very far very quickly. Some birds in California have made it up to Alaska, and birds from New York have made it as far south as Florida, traveling almost 300 miles in one day. So let's wrap this up. Up until the Bald Eagle and the Golden Eagle Protection Act of 1940, the bald eagle had some hard times. Since they eat whatever they can find, farmers always thought of them as a threat to their livestock, their pigs, their goats, their sheep, any farm animal that they had. So for a good chunk of time, lots of farmers shot the bald eagles that were nearby. There was also a horrible incident with a pesticide called DDT, which was used in the U.S. up until the 1970s, which was intended to kill insects, but had very adverse effects on populations of birds. According to Scientific American, the substance thinned bald eagle eggs and killed the embryos, preventing many eggs from hatching. So this was kind of a large-scale problem back before 1970. The bird had been in danger of extinction, but since the act was passed, these birds have been protected and their populations have increased. Nowadays, they're no longer on the endangered or threatened species list. They got off it in 2007. So yeah, I recently read an article about bald eagles setting up nests in suburban California. It's kind of funny. And also there's a town in Alaska that has even been taken over by bald eagles. They interact with humans. They steal things at times. In any case, that video is on YouTube. It's very entertaining. All of these links will be included within the transcript. So hope you enjoyed that episode. If you're interested in learning more about the bald eagle, explore the internet. There's some great articles out there and some funny videos. Once again, there is a ton of bonus material for every episode. If you sign up for bonus content, I'll send you a weekly email with the transcript and access to exercises, quizzes, and much more. You can learn more about that at AmericanEnglishPodcast.com. Thank you for listening to this episode of the American English Podcast. Remember, it's my goal here to not only help you improve your listening comprehension, but to show you how to speak like someone from the States. If you want to receive the full transcript for this episode, or you just want to support this podcast, make sure to sign up to premium content on AmericanEnglishPodcast.com. Thanks, and hope to see you soon.